Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
That's Arthi.
That's Noor.
And you're listening to The Reality Is.
All the shit that we were supposed to get, like, in the winter.
Yeah.
We just got now. But, I mean, also, I get sick a lot because I have a nasty four-year-old who was drinking pool water. For listeners, just so they know, things are about to get lit right now. Okay.
This what are you having?
Oh, I'm about to.
Benadryl?
Turn.
NyQuil? What is happening?
We're about to what have is your NyQuil.
That NyQuil is your drug of choice?
Yeah, two little gel caps. Also, you might hear me choke on them because I'm a baby who still can't really take pills.
Oh my god.
Just barely made it down.
Yeah, that was a gulp.
That was a gulp.
That was a big gulp. Like you would tell a 4-year-old. That was a good big gulp. You look awesome, but you sound terrible.
Oh, thanks. I've been attacked. I've been personally attacked by my 4-year-old who gave me all of the germs. So I apologize for the snifflies and the coffees this episode. And also because I think the NyQuil is about like it'll activate in about 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So whatever we put out tonight
is going to be loopy.
It's going to be loopy magoosey. Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
It'll be great.
Maybe I should reconnect in 10 minutes when it's actually kicked in.
No, it'll be great for people to listen in to the transition when I suddenly when the NyQuil drops, you know, like kicking. When the beat drops. How are you?
I am good. How are you? So I went on a trip.
Yeah.
Long trip. So I passed you and I almost stopped by and then you told me you were sick and I was like, oh,
no links.
Not stopping at Noor's. That's like germ central right now. I'm not going there. Because my daughter Maya was like, why can't we go? I was like, she's only 15 minutes from where we are right now. She was like, why can't we just go and say hi? I was like, nope. There's a lot of germs there.
Yeah. Maya, would you like croup? Every time I keep telling people I got croup, they're like, did you get it from the other kids at daycare? Like, why do you have croup?
I know. Croup is like, babies get it. Like, what are you talking about?
Well, it turns out for adults, it's not really called croup. For adults, it's just like a severe cold and cough. So my 4-year-old got croup somehow. But I know how because he's disgusting and he literally was drinking pool water. So, you know, this is just your PSA for birth control right now.
Especially when the babies, when the little ones go into the pool. That pool water is disgusting because these kids, half of the parents don't put the right diapers on.
Yeah. So luckily,
a lot of pee in there.
Girl, yes. So luckily, where we were staying, there were very strict rules about that stuff.
Yeah.
But we went to Kalahari, which is like a water park in Pennsylvania in late winter, early spring. And oof. When you're in like the kids area there, the chlorine burns your eyes because they have to put so much of it in the water because you know those kids are nasty. And here's my thing, okay? Diapers are gross, but you know what's grosser? Yeah. 6-year-old who wipe their own butt, okay? You can't trust them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think that everybody who goes into that pool needs to have a diaper on. Put a Depends on the 6-year-old too. Don't just, you know.
Yeah,
because they are not getting out of the pool to pee.
Oh, God. Ugh, kids are disgusting. Yeah. So gross. Anyway, yeah. But good news is I don't have COVID. I don't have the Delta.
You didn't get some Delta from Mexico?
No, I didn't get any Delta from Mexico. I did go get tested, which still we're 18 months in and COVID tests are still shaking up my brain. I've gotten like probably over 10.
You've had so many COVID tests.
Like we just get them all the fucking time.
Yeah.
It's so weird, right? Yeah. We're just always getting COVID tests.
I got it once and that was when they first started doing COVID tests. And that was it. Yeah. And then we got it again. Because I am a hermit. I've stayed inside this. These four walls of my study are where I sit. And I don't go out anywhere. I barely go out to check on my tomatoes on the deck.
Oh. How are they doing, the tomatoes?
They're doing good. Kirti watered them when I was gone.
Great.
They have actually flourished. I think he overwatered them, which was good. So,
oh, great. There
the dog survived. They're all alive. He seems to be okay, too. He doesn't seem to have noticed that I was gone, but that's okay.
The dogs or the husband?
Husband.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the dogs miss me.
Oh, of course.
They miss me so much. The husband was like, you were gone for 3 days? I thought it was 2 days. Was
yeah,
like,
dogs are great. Have I ever mentioned that before? They're the best.
Dogs are great for people like me who need to feel needed.
Okay, so maybe I should get a dog.
Yeah, who need to feel needed. Dogs are very good for that.
So you know what's happening in my house is what's I've got happening? The two boys, right? I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old. Mm-hmm. And we've now figured out that around 4.5 is the age when the children suddenly change party from being obsessed with mama to obsessed with Abba.
Yes.
Because a 4-year-old doesn't give a shit about me anymore.
What? Overnight?
Okay. Over a month, I'm going to say. It's been a slow transition.
I mean, a couple months ago. A month ago when I came over, he was all a mama's boy.
Yeah. Now... He'll walk, like, I'll be upstairs in the office working, and I see him go upstairs to his room to get something, and I'm like, hey, buddy, give me a hug. You know what he said to me today? Yeah. He said, 1 second, I'm playing something downstairs.
What?
He said, 1 second, and then I became a psychopath, and I said to him, if you don't hug me right now, I will never hug you again. Guys, this is how... Yeah.
I have done that. I have done that.
Yeah. I was like, you're never allowed to ever hug me again, which is psychotic. My kid will one day be in therapy and be like, my mom used to force me to hug her.
No. I did that the first time it worked because Maya came over and gave me a hug. After that, every time I have tried to threaten her, like, I'll never hug you. Clearly you don't love me, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, yeah, that's okay.
Oh my God.
So what? And she just walks away and she's like, it doesn't matter. You'll hug me. It doesn't matter. She doesn't care anymore.
I know. So that's what's happening with Noah. Now he's like, fuck you and whatever horse you rode in on, lady. I'll hug you whenever the fuck I want. That's what I imagine he's saying in his head.
Yeah, you need a dog.
I know. I should get one. Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, today we're talking about Rehouses of Potomac and Shaws of Sunset. Let's talk about Potomac first.
Yeah.
You know, by the way. They keep there's so much chit chat right now about why do they call it Rehouses of Potomac when nobody even lives in Potomac? Only Karen lives in Potomac, blah blah blah. Guys, there's a river. Okay, it's the Potomac River.
Yeah.
Granted, a majority of them don't really live by it, but still there's a river. So we can say that it's the Real Housewives based around the river, but not so much the city. Potomac.
But the Potomac River only runs through Potomac, doesn't run through Bethesda or Baltimore.
No, it's right there. It's right. No.
It doesn't run through Baltimore. That's Patapsco.
No, I know, but it does go through Bethesda.
Bethesda? No, it runs through some parts of, like, very corners of it.
Yeah, but isn't it the river between D.C. and Virginia?
Yeah.
So you get Ashley.
Yeah.
Karen. Giselle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everybody else basically lives.
Everybody else is on a whole other river.
Yeah.
It's like the Chesapeake Bay, the Baltimore Bay, Baltimore Harbor, and the Patapsco River. Robin lives off of a random stream.
No, they're Real Housewives of actually Maryland House Rest Stop.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Give it a rest. Who gives a shit? The Beverly Hills women all live in Encino. Okay. Yeah. The Real Housewives of the Valley over there. So it doesn't really matter. Okay. So we start with Giselle and Robin going for a photo shoot for their podcast.
And meeting with Giselle's best friend, Cal.
Yeah.
Who is like Candy's. What's his name?
Juan. We fucked this up before. Not Juan Dixon. Juan.
No. Don Juan.
Don Juan, yes.
That's why I kept saying Juan. Like, hold on, Don Juan. But unlike Don Juan, Cal speaks the truth.
Yeah, I love Cal. Like,
what are you talking about, Giselle? What do you want me to say?
He literally keeps her straight. She's like, you know, you can't have a relationship, an honest relationship, long distance. And he's like, yeah, you can. And she's like, right, but I need someone with me all the time. Most of he's like, you hate people in your face. So what are you talking about? I just love Cal. Because Cal
and then she says, "What do you think of clitoral getting your clit done or whatever plastic surgery?" And he's like, "I haven't seen a vagina since 1998 or whatever." He's like, "What are you asking me about?"
Yeah. Well, you know what? I have a feeling they were asking because I don't think anybody really knows
what they're talking about.
The clitoris is what I'm learning on Bravo.
Also what they do, because they know that vaginal rejuvenation typically is like tightening of the vagina and labial, maybe some
labioplasty. Surgery,
labioplasty. Yeah. But what do you do with the clit? They didn't know.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Not even Mia knows, which we'll get to. So Giselle and Robin invite Mia to get drinks over text, and they say, "We'd like to get to know you without Karen."
How would you respond if a friend of yours said, "I want to meet with you, but not without the person that introduced you to me"? Like, specifically say, "I don't want to meet with Karen."
I would say odd text. It is a totally odd text, but here's the thing. They're coworkers for a TV show.
Yeah.
It would be a totally odd thing to do if it was any other instance, but in this, it makes sense. Karen is the woman that brought Mia into the circle. They want to get to know Mia without Karen there. They want to do basically a two-on-one. Also, this is like a staple in Potomac, is you come in as a new housewife and then you get a one-on-one with Giselle and or Robin. It's sort of like a thing. It's like a rite of passage.
Right. It's like Karen. You interview with Karen and then you get another interview with Giselle or Robin. It's like you have to – there's clearly two teams.
Yes.
And you – both teams have to get to know you.
Exactly. Right? So, and they're not going to get to know you together.
But they don't have to necessarily say without Karen. They could have just said, "We want to get to know you better and just can we meet?"
I think that there's a point, though, of them saying, "We want to get to know you without Karen." Because I have a feeling prior to that instance, it's possible that the only times they see Mia is when Karen brings her along. You know what I mean?
So maybe the way it is that if you read the sentences, we want to get to meet you without Karen as a run, like a single sentence, whereas "we want to get to know you" pause without Karen, it makes a difference how you read it.
Let me tell you something, Mia, not so good with arithmetic, definitely not good with anatomy or biology. Don't really trust her reading skills either, because later on she uses a word incorrectly and it cracks me up.
What was that word?
We'll get there.
I remembered. I was going to look it up.
No, I wrote it down. You know I write down very detailed notes. So then we cut to Ashley and the Predator. Okay. Bravo. Okay, between this and the fucking Watch What Happens Live where Michael Darby was in the clubhouse behind the bar, you guys have got to stop. Because it's weird. Michael, when he's nicer to Ashley, is somehow even creepier.
Yes. It feels fake, and it feels like he is doing it for the cameras, obviously. It just feels...
I just got like goosebumps it feels like...
No, I was going to say pedophile, but that's how I feel like.
He gives predatory vibes. I get the heebie-jeebies from this man.
It's like, don't touch that child.
No wonder fucking Ashley is losing her mind as she's going into labor, because she's like, "I'm not going to see Dean for a couple of days and he's going to be with Michael." Like, we'll get to that, because I had thoughts about it. But Michael tells Ashley, who's about to give birth any second, that he wants to invest their money into movies. And you know, Ashley that whole time is like, "Bitch. I did not just birth almost two whole human beings for you to take the money and give it to a movie.
And give it to Randall Emmett.
Oh my God.
He was like, did Michael just look up and say, oh, if Randall can do it, I can do it too.
Right?
Do you think Randall and Jax got to Michael?
It seems like the kind of predatory circle that would hang out with each other.
Yeah. Jax and Randall reached out to Michael.
I would not be surprised if I saw that group text.
I totally expect it.
The only other person I expect on that group text is like Harry Dubin.
And only by mistake. Like, and Harry only Dubin by did, mistake. Like, Harry Dubin didn't know which group text he was on.
No, no. They thought they were adding in Harry Hamlin, but they actually got Harry Dubin. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah. Ashley is fucking pissed because she's like, you're not going to take this money. Mm. I just gave birth to my money makers, so you're going to need to not do that.
So here's what I feel like. Remember how Michael, not only was he predatory and a problem, he also went after Bravo, the producers and the cameramen. Remember in the last scene at Robin's engagement, he was going off on them. Mm-hmm. And I think that the way he thinks he talked himself into coming back into the show is to say, okay, I'm going to get some kind of publicity out of it for a business venture or something. I'm going to make money off of this. So he's coming in and this is the idea he has come up with. This is as bad as Wendy's candle idea.
Yeah, except it's like if Wendy sold candles and also sexually harassed people, then yes, it would be the same thing. Then we see Karen in the kitchen and she's talking to her daughter Raven, and I'm sorry, but that was the most fake phone call I've ever seen in my life.
That was so arranged. She told Raven to show up and, you know, wear a coat and glasses and talk about her job. And she gave her a script.
She 100%. Raven was 100% reading up the paper. Gave her a
script. Because, you know, when Raven was saying that, Karen wasn't acting surprised or, you know, oh, so nice of you to say it. She was nodding her head like, yes, you said the right thing. Yeah, yes. Yeah, that's the correct.
You nailed it. Yeah. She also says Raven works in New York City as an executive in corporate America. I was like, Raven is not an executive in corporate America, Karen. No, she's probably an executive assistant somewhere. Yeah. Sales assistant.
Sales executive.
Executive, honey. Obviously
in corporate America, she's not a CXO of anything.
No. And also, I don't think Karen knows what Raven does, which is fine. My mom doesn't know what I do. But like, Karen is just, I just fucking love her because she just says things. Yeah. Another thing she says, which I'm like, what are they thinking? She is the ambassador of Surrey County. You guys, what is that? What is it? Is there an embassy from Surrey County and Montgomery County or Fairfax County? What?
She gets diplomatic immunity now. She doesn't have to pay taxes anymore. No.
When she comes to New York City.
She'll not get pulled over. She can do any crime, will not be arrested. She has diplomatic immunity.
Oh, my God. When she comes to New York City, you know, like if you've ever been in the city and you've looked for parking or on First Avenue, there's a whole bunch of parking you can't do because it says ambassador parking only or diplomat parking only. Karen can park there now.
Karen can park her convertible, that open convertible that she went around in. She can park that. But also, I do think that Karen has, you know, Surrey County and some of these rural counties have a lot of things going on right now in terms of farming and ag tech and getting like food security issues solved and things like that. So there are a lot of initiatives that if Karen is interested, because she has that agriculture business in her family, that would be something that she could work on. But she doesn't know how to talk about it. What to she say. Goes,
and we have to work on the Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi, like, basically broadband. Yeah. She's trying to broadband into the rural areas. That's what she means.
Which is like, again, great initiative, Karen. Yeah, but talk to me about where the ambassador works out of. Is there an embassy? They like give her a room at the embassy suites. And she's like, I'm an ambassador for Surrey County.
Remember the car in India we had? Ambassador car? Yeah. That was like the only car that we had for the longest time was the ambassador car. They were like built like a tank too.
Yeah. Oh my God. They pick her up in an ambassador and they drive her to an embassy suite. And she's like, I'm the ambassador of Surrey County. I'm dying. Oh God, I love her.
I love her so much. And she's so proud of it. She's so proud of it too. Oh my God. She's so cute.
Okay, so then we see Mia at work. And my God, Mia is somebody who has never done any work in her life. No, I'm
sorry. See Mia at someone else's work because she's not doing much.
No, no. Okay, let's just be honest about franchises. Okay, so I used to work for the corporate offices at Huntington Learning Center, which is like those tutoring centers.
Yeah.
And Huntington Learning Centers are all franchise-based. Yeah. They're like Massage Envy, Lash House,
Dunkin' Donuts,
European Wax Center, and McDonald's. These are all franchise-based businesses. Now, all you need to run a franchise is investment of your money. If you have money, you can buy a franchise, and everything you do out of that is just all sales-based. So
everything else is done for you. The franchise comes with a package. So it comes with the logos. It comes with everything, the marketing, the sales, the pitch, the initial, you know, all of the materials you need to get started. Everything comes from corporate. So it's all in a package.
So she says, I work on HR, like personnel, staffing, recruiting. I was like, those are all the same thing that HR does.
Yeah.
You just described what the job of HR is, which is all you have to do when you're a franchise owner. Right. You just hire the staff that works at the place.
And the corporation helps you train them.
Yes.
And they get trained and then they run it. That's it.
That's all you have to do. So this boss bitch CEO stuff that Mia keeps doing, what is this? It's so annoying. Also, I had to do some Googling on her because I was like, what the fuck is this, right? One, she clearly looks like she's never worked a day in her life. Two, she looks like she's never worked there ever. She doesn't know what she's doing.
Yeah.
The other thing is she's been with this man, G, Gordon, for what, like 8 years now they've been married, right? Yeah. You didn't work up the title of boss bitch in 8 years. You had kids in that time.
Yeah.
And then, which I'm not saying like, oh, she could have maybe worked while she had kids. I'm sure she may have. But she said it in the beginning of the season when we met her. She said, G used to take over and now he's retired and I'm taking on more of a leadership role. Mm-hmm. Which basically says her husband is old.
Yeah.
He's 30. She's 38 and he's what, 60 something?
Yeah.
We still don't really know.
Yeah.
The math is.
Plus 36. So.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's in his like 60s or early 70s.
70s.
Yeah, 70s, this man. He's retired. And now she's taken on, as she says, a well-oiled machine. Well-oiled machine, Mia. Her English drives me crazy.
It does.
So then I also looked up that they apparently met, you know how she said they met at the strip club where she was working? Apparently they met at a charity event held at the strip club. In 2003, when Mia was probably 19 or 20 years old.
Wow.
And Gordon was already married. He was married. So I'm not saying anything. I'm just going to drop that information here. And that's it.
I think the pill kicked in.
The pill has kicked in. Okay. Okay. Then we see Escala, Wendy, and Robin at the park. Working out just as about hard as I work out, which is not at all.
Well, I couldn't do that. So I would be like a scholar. I would try the ropes and it would not move. I would be like holding them. Like I'm trying. It's so heavy. I have no arm strength. So
if I naturally looked as gorgeous as a scholar, I would be like, fuck you guys. I don't ever need to work out ever in a day of my life. Right.
Wendy was good.
Wendy was good. Well, Wendy's actually good at everything.
And Robin too. Yeah. Robin has always been a little athletic. So
she has. At this meeting at the park.
That was a long meeting because they did the exercise and then they spent a long time talking on the phone and filming. So they are doing everything outdoors because of COVID. So they had to go out into the field in freezing winter to do that scene.
Yeah, they did. Robin shares with them what happened when they sent Mia a text about getting to know her without Karen. Mia snaps and says to Giselle,
is this about business? Because if it's not about business, I have nothing to say to you.
Would you like to set up an appointment with my
assistant?
Yeah. Robin's like, what the fuck? And she's like, I don't know what I did to you. I don't know where this is coming from. And we have to remember, because they didn't flash back to it, but like, was it last episode or the episode before we saw a text between Mia and Robin and Giselle where Mia is trying to suck up to Robin so that her kids can spend time playing basketball with Juan fucking Dixon. Okay. Yeah. So here's Robin having a reaction because she's like, bitch, we're trying to get to fucking know you. By the way, you've been crawling up my ass trying to get time with my fiance, ex-husband, current husband, almost husband, boyfriend person, baby daddy.
Roommate.
Housemate.
Housemate. Yes.
And now you're going to tell me like, oh, blah, blah, blah. So the funniest thing about that is that when we see Mia telling the same story to Karen, Karen is so happy that she has a friend.
First of all, Karen comes into Mia's house, her good friend Mia's house for the very first time.
Mm-hmm. On camera.
She's never been on camera, but she's never been to that house. She's like, oh, this is nice. This is so beautiful.
Yeah.
This is on the harbor, and she's come all the way to Baltimore. She is so pleased that Mia is on her team. Yes. Mia tells her that. She's like, yeah, that's not good. But inside, she's like, she has bubbles of joy.
Well, that's why she does that weird giggle when Mia tells her what she said. She does that weird giggle, but which is bizarre. I was like, I don't know what that sound is that's coming out of Karen's mouth.
That's her trying to keep the bubbles of joy inside.
Yeah. She's like, you know, in Hindi, what do we say? Like, poot poot ke? It's like she's like busting out. She's like busting out with glee right now that she has a friend in Mia. Because, guys, if she didn't have Mia, she would literally have no one else.
Yes.
She maybe has Ashley.
Yeah, she lost Monique and she maybe has Ashley. She as of yet doesn't have Wendy yet. I think in the coming weeks, Wendy sort of comes over to Karen's side.
I see why, because I saw a preview of next episode and it's Giselle, honey. Okay, so Mia tells the story to Karen. Karen is just so happy that she's got somebody on her side. But I do have to say, if somebody sent me a text message and said, I want to get to know you without so-and-so, let's just like do a one-on-one, especially if I'm on this TV show, right? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be like, oh, you don't get to call the shots and dictate who I get to bring to an event. No, you don't get to bring a person to an event. You don't get to do that. And Mia reacting that way tells me that Mia's intentions were to bring Karen to this hangout with Giselle. Yes. That Mia maybe doesn't know how to function without Karen. And also, Mia, you asked for Giselle's phone number. You asked for all the stuff.
But also, you are on a housewife show. This is dumb, Mia. You were getting a few more scenes. You want to be in more scenes. That's the whole purpose of being in this show. Why would you deny a scene for yourself?
Exactly.
And you create, and then if you are creating the drama, then stick with the drama. Because when she finally meets with them, she apologizes and backtracks on it. Okay. Like, why?
Yeah. Honestly.
If you want to stick with it, stick with it, create drama, then at least you're going to get some more scenes and you're going to be part of the show.
Exactly. We see Candace in the studio, and I have to say, she says that she's now doing this fully independently, but she got a music video on BET. Mm-hmm. If she's doing it independently, and I say independently in quotes because she obviously has the bravo of it all in her back pocket from all the attention she gets there, but that's pretty impressive.
It is. There have been quite a few musicians from DC who haven't made it.
Yeah.
Who haven't been able to get it into BET. They're still struggling, but there's a lot of studios, music studios here, especially for the go-go music
that hasn't
quite taken off.
And also no other housewife has made it on on TV like that. I mean, now I know like music videos and BET and stuff is like a little bit different than when On Display was coming out, but like DJ James Kennedy doesn't even have music videos on TV. Then we see Giselle in a motherly moment takes Grace to the DMV. Oh, sweet Grace, to get her learner's permit. Let me tell you something, Grace, if you're listening, she's not listening. I also failed my permit test thrice.
Twice. This person did twice.
Oh, because, look at us. Between the two of us, it's five times.
Yeah. Because also, this was in Jersey. And that stupid parallel parking always got me.
Yeah, but she didn't even do that test. She's taking the learner's permit. The written test. Did you fail your written test?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I failed it three times.
You failed the written test three times?
Yeah, I failed the written test three times, and I failed the driving test twice.
Yeah, I failed the driving test because I was a new immigrant who had been driving on the other side of the road.
Don't blame that.
And then, Yes, I did. The first time I failed, I turned too much to the left. I didn't turn to the when I made a turn, I was too much to the left. The second time I failed because I crossed my arms on the I think the parallel parking was a mess.
I failed once because of a rolling stop, mm-hmm. and the second time it was because they told me to park into a spot. I did everything perfect. They told me to park into a spot. I parked, and then he said, "Move up." Uh-huh. I moved up, and I bumped the car on the curb.
Oh!
And they were like, "We have to fail you." And I was like, "But I was perfect until you told me to move up."
I know.
But anyway, my point is, Grace, honey, you'll be just fine.
It's okay.
Okay.
It only means that you're going to know your material really well when you do finally pass, and when you do pass your driver's test. You'll be a careful driver and you'll appreciate your license even more.
Yeah. I will say I agree with Angel and Adore in the back seat it is the ultimate embarrassment to fail it. And my God, on camera.
But they were laughing. They were laughing.
They were so sweet. They were
trying to hide the laughter.
It was such a real moment. I was like, Giselle can't be a monster. Okay, Jamal, we know, is a monster, but you know Giselle is actually a good person because they have three amazing children.
Yeah. But also, the daughter is not the most embarrassing Brian. She's like, this is embarrassing to the Brian name. No.
Yeah, dad.
Dad is the most embarrassing thing.
Yeah, it's not you, honey.
These
it's not
girls
you.
Are angels, literally.
Literally, one of them is an angel.
It's an angel.
So, yeah. Now, we go to this PJ party at the old townhouse, at Dorothy's townhouse.
Candace moved to a new home and she sold this home, mm-hmm. but all her furniture in the old home is still there. She didn't move any of the furniture to the new home. She sold with the furniture.
It's possible. It's possible that she may have sold the furniture, or she may have sold the townhouse to somebody she knows.
I think she sold it to her mother.
You think she sold the townhouse to Dorothy?
And Dorothy's renting it out.
I would not be surprised. Dorothy's going to try to get another one of the children to sign off on it so that she can use.
Maybe Candace sold it to her sister.
So, well, maybe.
So it could be Dorothy can then torture the sister now.
Yeah, it's your turn. So Karen, Karen's the first one to get there. She does take a fireball shot. We do get a little flashback of all the times that Karen's been completely hammered. Man, I would love to be around Karen Huger drunk.
I want to get drunk with Karen. I want to get drunk with Karen.
Yeah, I want.
And you Karen can watch us.
Yes.
I don't want to be sober with Karen. I want to be drunk with Karen.
Oh, I want to be sober and I want to watch all of it. But Robin gets there and Karen is somehow suddenly talking to Robin. This is why I love Robin.
Karen does this every time Robin gets there without Giselle. Yeah. Karen goes out of her way to talk to Robin. But she will make it, she'll make a snide remark, but she will try to talk to Robin.
But this is why I love Robin, because Robin's like, bro, I'm not going to be nice to you right now. Like, even Robin's like body language when Karen's trying to talk to her, Robin is looking at her like, shut the fuck up. Like, I do not want to be talking to you right now. You literally question my relationship the last time we were all together. Like, why the fuck would I want to talk to you?
Yeah.
And then Karen is hating on Robin for not wanting to get married in the pandemic. And I was like, Karen. I did love Robin's comeback, though. That was amazing. Yeah. Then everybody shows up. Another reason why I love the Potomac women is because Giselle walks in and she goes, oh, I see the liars and the haters are here. Like, I just love that they can say this shit to each other on camera and it's like not a big deal. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's so real.
They're like, okay, we have to work together. We all know where everybody stands. We're just going to say, call it all out. And we're still going to work together because this is the show and we're making money. So we're going to stick together on this.
Yeah. So then the ladies start to talk about the text message business after everybody arrives there. Escala says, in defense of the text messages, because people are like, oh, who is Escala to say anything? She's getting involved, whatever. Dude, she was at the park with these women, first of all, working out in the freezing cold. Two, going on a full walk to like break down the text message and what was right or wrong with it. So for Escala to then say something about it is not a big deal.
I think Escala is the new Marlowe. is the Marlo of this show. She's going to be the friend off. And I think she's okay as a friend off. Don't bring her as full time. I think she's doing a little too much. Ascala, I feel, is like trying too hard. No. And I think Ascala was brought in because Karen brought in Mia. So Giselle and Robin decided they had to bring in one other person that would be more closer to them. So she was brought in and opposite to Mia. Ascala is doing a lot all at once. She doesn't know all of the women. She doesn't have to speak up. She could have just sat in the corner.
But again, you have to remember from the context of the time they're filming this, at the time they're filming this, Mia and Ascala are both friends of.
Yeah. That's both, what I mean. Like they were brought in. And that's why
For the amount of doing too much that Mia is doing, Ascala is doing equally that much, right?
Yes.
It just ended up being that Mia got hired.
Yes.
And Ascala didn't. But if you think about it from the context of two women essentially auditioning to be on the show, Ascala is in the right to get in the middle of this conversation because she's supposed to be a part of this group at this point. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's why Ascala and Mia were going at it on Twitter or Instagram or something. And Mia was like, well, you didn't come through the right team. That's why you didn't get hired, right? So you didn't kiss Karen's ass and that's why you didn't get hired.
Which is insane. So which is like Mia then literally admitting that she kissed Karen's ass to get on camera.
Yeah.
But this is when Mia says the dumbest thing in the world. She says, how many businesses do you own to Ascala in response to Ascala being like, your text message doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And that's when everybody's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then this is when the point that you brought up of Mia then takes back everything when she's one-on-one with Giselle. She's suddenly like, oh, I get it. I will try. And she says, I will try with my deliverance to be better.
Deliverance. Yes. That was the word. I was like, what do you mean deliverance?
She is so dumb. Okay, one, I think Mia's teeth are brand new and she doesn't quite know how to talk with that because she has the same problem that Karen does, except Karen's like an old lady, you know? Mm-hmm. So Karen's like dentures are poorly fitted, but Mia just has bad veneers and she has this fake Karen's voice.
Dentures? She's going to kill you.
She's not listening, okay? As much as we could manifest.
In my mind, she's listening because she's my favorite. She's listening to me talk. No, I'm never going to get in front of her. I'm never going to get drunk with her.
Don't worry. Don't worry. Just tell her that you're playing Never Have I Ever and don't explain the rules because she'll drink every single time. But yeah, my point is Mia is really dumb and I really can't stand her. But
I cannot either. A lot of people like her and they're saying she was needed in the show. I don't think so.
Here's the thing. I can't stand her, but I do like her on the show because she's so dumb. It's funny to watch Robin and Giselle's faces be like, what are you saying?
Yeah.
What words are you saying?
Yeah.
Then we do find out that what Mia meant was vaginal rejuvenation and not a clitoroplasty, which begs to ask the question, does Mia know what a clitoris is?
Does it matter? Whatever it is down there paid for everything, so it's okay.
But she's like, I just want everybody to know, like, I'm really transparent. Mm-hmm, that's something to know about me. I'm like, how can you be transparent if you don't even know what words you're saying?
Yeah. She misused so many words that I was like, is she speaking English? What is going on with her?
Exactly. Then, of course, we cut to Ashley going into labor and having a meltdown about leaving Dean at home. And I'm like, you crying this hard about leaving your baby at home says more about your relationship with your husband than it does about your son.
Yeah, I was going to ask you because I have only one kid, so I don't know anything about it. But you had two. Did you feel upset that with the birth of your second child, the first child is no longer going to be the only child in your life?
I mean, I had emotions about it, but I wasn't like crying. In fact, I had both of my kids in the month of March. The second one, when he was born, because of like the hospital restrictions, they could only let a few visitors at a time because like during flu season in the Northeast, you're only allowed to get like one or two visitors in the baby area. I had no visitors. Only my husband, my in-laws, everybody came like one by one for like 10 minutes to see the baby and then leave. Aiden couldn't come in the room, so I didn't see him for 3 days. And there was a snowstorm, so nobody could come.
Oh, wow.
Let me tell you something.
It must have been awesome.
It was a resort vacation, okay? Uh-huh. That's what it was.
I was just thinking that because the first couple of nights is you want to be able to get enough rest.
Yeah.
And you don't get enough when you have taken the baby home.
Yeah. So you know what I did? Uh-huh. I told the nurse. I said, hey, I'm breastfeeding this baby, but don't you dare bring this baby into my room before 7 a.m. Okay. And take him out of the room at 9 p.m.
Yeah.
I don't want to see anybody's face.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. They would bring the baby. I'd breastfeed the baby. I'd be eating my probably okay hospital breakfast. And I'd be watching Martin and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And it was amazing. I'm like, Ashley. And you know what? I knew it was okay because my child, my son was at home with his father who adores the shit out of him.
And grandparents and everybody. And like,
who like take care of him and love him.
Family,
Yeah. And so I think that's the part like that made me sad about Ashley. Her having such a meltdown is because she likely can't trust her son with her husband. Her even her water breaking and her making a lunch for Dean the next day and all this stuff. I'm like, you don't need to do that. Your partner should be taking on that role.
Yeah.
But, you know, her partner is a disgusting sexual harasser, allegedly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think we don't have to say allegedly with him. I think it's established. He's admitted it.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's talk about Shaws of Sunset. Oh, by the way, we were supposed to have guests on this episode, but I was nearly dying yesterday, and then we had to reschedule with the Hamlets, so we'll have them on another episode.
Yeah.
We're so good that I remembered that right now as we're almost done with this episode.
I should have remembered. I didn't remember.
At least I have an excuse, Arthi.
Yeah, I don't have an excuse other than you always take care of all of this stuff. And when I signed on to do the podcast, you said I don't have to think about all that, so I'd never thought about all that.
Oh, but you're still pinning it on me.
No, I'm not.
All right.
It's okay.
Shadows of Sunset.
Yeah.
The whole cast goes on an RV ride to the Redwoods. This is my favorite type of Shaws episode, I'll be honest with you.
When they're all cooped up in one place and they have nowhere to go.
Yes.
And they all go bonkers at once. Like all of them go bonkers at once.
It's the best.
I know.
It's so good.
Not every cast on Bravo can be cooped up like that. It's not fun. Southern Charm cannot be cooped up like that. It's not fun.
No.
We saw Summer House where they couldn't go back to the city back and forth, and it sort of did not work out really well. But Shaz does well when they're all stuck in one place.
And this is the thing, like,
because there's a lot of crying and making up, and you're my brother, and you're my sister, and we are a family.
And baby like, Shaz.
And there's a liberal use of weed, so at least by Gigi, she was high the whole time.
I'm telling you. Okay, so I remember last season when at the reunion she was like, oh yeah, I smoke all the time postpartum, and that's like how I get to be like a cool mom or whatever. I remember being horrified. I was like, Gigi is crazy enough that Gigi has a baby by herself, this woman who has a knife collection, but she's constantly stoned. I can't imagine that being a good thing, right?
Yeah.
No shade against smoking pot or parents who smoke pot. It's not about smoking pot. It's Gigi smoking pot all the time. But let me tell you, this season I'm like, I don't know. Maybe Gigi's got a point.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's not bad.
Yeah. She's actually able to think clearly now. Like without all the emotions. I think all the emotions have been taken away. So we actually are seeing the same smart Gigi.
Yes.
We don't see all of the anger and the sadness and all of that confusion.
Yeah. She's the only person who gets to sit down with Reza and say, dude, you're scary.
Yeah.
And people are scared of you. And when you get annoyed with people, you just tell them to shut the fuck up and that you never want anything to do with them. So why would they want to be friends with you?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, same. Same questions. I have the same questions.
I love the whole show, this episode with all of the sitcom-like introduction of everybody. There's a lot of production that's gone into Shaz this year.
Yeah.
That has been extra, extra. And I think the pandemic got the producers and editors getting very creative with Shaz.
I think also they made an effort to bring back a little bit more lightness to this because last season was so dark.
Yes.
So and I know
I also think that a little bit of producing for family karma is influencing other groups because they are finding that if they add on other special effects and the producers add on their own touches to the show, funny touches to the show, the audience actually responds better because people want to watch it, but they want to watch the drama, but they also want comedy.
Yeah, essentially these shows are more comedy based.
Yes.
We don't want to watch every episode where Reza is crying about Baby Shams, but Reza crying about Baby Shams is actually the funniest part of the show.
Yeah.
So funny.
And Tommy sitting there in his sweater, in all his ugly, inappropriate Christmas his sweaters.
Ugly and erotic sweaters.
That he has a whole collection of them.
It's not just one, multiples. Multiple. Now, Tommy is a man with standards, okay? Yeah. As he sits there with his erotic Christmas sweaters. And Tommy's
points to his chest and he tells the baby Shem, this is how mommy and daddy met.
Oh, my God. He goes, this is how you make a gingerbread baby. But Tommy's not having any of it.
And I see Tommy's point. He's like, I had a consequence for my bad action. And I went there to defend you because he said some horrific personal shit. Nobody talks about that. Everybody talks about Brezep always starts the conversation. The whole situation, he starts off with, Tommy came and broke the flower pots in my house and said he was going to attack. But why did Tommy do that? It's because of what Reza said and was screaming to a whole party of strangers about her and her medical history. That kind of vile stuff. I am surprised that MJ even wants to be friends with him. So I understand why Tommy doesn't get that. Tommy's like, why would you want to be friends with them? And why doesn't Reza have any consequences? The only consequence he can have is the one I can impose, is the one that he cannot see Shams, because that matters to him. There's nothing else that matters apparently to Reza. This apparently matters, so he's going to hold it out.
But I think what Tommy needs to... I completely understand Tommy's point, but here's the thing that I was thinking about today. You remember how with Family Karma, we were talking about how fucked up it is for Vishal to be threatening a person, a gay person, to bash their face in?
Yeah.
You also have to think about the optics of that, right? Like, Tommy is a straight, heterosexual, cis man, big guy who comes over to trash two gay men's home, right?
That's what Adam is going through. That's the fear that Adam is going through.
Exactly.
Which I don't like Adam, but he has a point there too.
So Tommy did a thing and he had consequences for those actions. I also understand his point that there should be consequences for Reza's actions of what he said. Now, in Tommy's mind, I'm sure the major consequence should be Mercedes should not be friends with any of these pieces of shit. Mm-hmm. But Tommy, honey, in order for this show to function and for you to get a Bravo paycheck and to be – for you to continue to live the lifestyle of which you are accustomed to by being married to a TV personality, you need to understand why your wife is doing this. This whole season, it doesn't really ever feel like MJ is like in it because she has some emotional attachment to Reza. The whole time it just looks like – I'm trying to make some peace so I can continue to work on this show because I need this money. Because
you
what
know
else
that MJ doesn't have a real estate business anymore. She was barely doing it before. Now she's not doing that. This is all she has. But what does Tommy do? I don't know what Tommy does, because I have a feeling that what Reza did caused harm to Tommy's career, and that's he's not able to find work either.
But I think also with Reza and the Shams thing, Reza's obsession with seeing Shams is bizarre. It's bizarre if you think about the fact that she gave birth and he did not come and see the baby.
And this was before anything happened. This was before anything happened. He didn't show up.
Exactly. Yeah. So again, if we keep going back and back and back and back as to the reasons why all these things happen, it usually still ends up somewhere on Reza's a terrible person.
Correct.
Which brings me to Mike. Okay.
Yes.
My favorite thing about this episode between everybody was when Mike starts to rag on Reza. And when he started to do that, I was like, good, Mike, play more in on the joke. Like, you don't have to take these terrible people seriously. Which, by the way, you are also one of the terrible people too, Mike. But he gets so worked up when Reza makes fun of him or when anybody makes fun of him. And it doesn't make sense, because the same way that Mike hates that Reza makes fun of him, Mike makes fun of Nima. So it's like, you guys all play the same dumb fucking game. You're all both terrible people. I don't know why Mike is always like, oh, Reza's going to, you know, he's coming after
Mike
me.
Mike picks on Nima all the time. That's a really good point. And Nima always handles it very well. He just lets it. He doesn't care about any of their ragging. He truly doesn't care. He just laughs it off. But Mike cannot see that. He doesn't see that he needs to react the same way to Reza.
I'll tell you, everybody's really tired of dealing with, though. London.
All of us, they were like, okay, therapist, you were hired. You've diagnosed everybody. Now, can you get off the show? Why do we still have to talk about our feelings to you? We are done. They're like, bravo, can you get her off?
I don't even think it's about her feelings.
Like, it just turned. Everybody turned on her all of a sudden.
No, I don't even think it's about feelings. I think they're like, you are hired for a job, ma'am, and you don't get to sit here and take up our space to talk about your own bullshit. Nobody cares.
Right. Right. She talks so much, and I think they're like, okay, but you are a side character. You're not the main character. Why are you talking so much?
Again, in her defense, she's now had to film multiple scenes with multiple people in the main cast.
Right.
Everybody's gotten a personal scene with London.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a Shervin one somewhere, too. So I understand why London is being so long-winded, but, man, they really have no patience for new people in this group.
No.
None. But that's why I love them, because they're all terrible people.
It's a good thing Shervin can drive, because not only did he drive them in the end, he ended up getting off the bus and then cooking for them a great meal.
And then cleaning up too.
And cleaning up too. Have we misjudged Shervin? He seemed like a dog when it was all about him and they were focusing on him. But he does, I mean, this was a lot of responsible stuff that he did.
I don't know if it's like a lot of responsible stuff. They're all in their 40s.
Yes.
You know how to drive, you know how to cook, and you know how to clean.
True.
That's not that impressive at 40.
Yeah, but compared to the rest of them.
Yeah, certainly. Definitely.
So they all went and found their rooms, and MJ and Reza are going to prank people, toilet paper prank. They had a talk with each other. Adam decided to remove the restraining order, and Reza gave a fake smile and kissed him. Like, oh, thank you, honey. Reza has conveyed that to MJ. We'll see how that goes. But
yeah,
Tommy is not interested. And MJ has to convey that back to Reza. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
And Gigi tells Reza why he sucks. And he seems to take it well. So,
but they're all so high. I don't even know if Reza really even heard.
Yeah, that's true. But I am looking forward to a mountain lion finding them. That would be a great twist.
We don't have a Shaws of Sunset reunion because everybody
died. I don't think
there
are bears. Yeah, I don't think there are bears in LA. But
I think
maybe
there
in the Redwood Forest.
Yeah.
But there are mountain lions. So
something.
Yeah. That would be nice.
Well, that's it for this episode. We'll be back on Saturday to talk about New York and Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
Thanks for putting up with my sneezing and coughing, guys.
Do you have ginger at home?
Yes, of course I have ginger in my house.
Do you have ginger and haldi and make some chai?
No, I'm not doing that right now. Mm. I'm on pharmaceuticals, okay?
But you can put some Unani medicine. Don't be afraid to try all of that.
No, I will. I would do it. If my mom was here, she'd do it for me. Okay, I'll try to feel better. We'll talk to you on Saturday. Bye.